Hi, this is Brad Montgomery, and welcome to Got Mirth, milking your program for all the humor it's worth. Here's the plan. The plan is, in this audio, to teach you some humor and comedy techniques that you can incorporate in your programs starting instantly. So the plan, then, is going to be twofold. I'd love to give you some theory and some ideas that you can work on the long term, some ways to think about humor and comedy, and some ways to think about your attitude as you approach these things from your platform that should be helpful to you. On the other hand, I'd also like to give you some techniques that are sort of easy and you can cut and paste and put into your program instantly. So if we give you a mix, I think that sounds good. What do you think? Okay, the truth is I can't hear you, but pretty sure you said yes. So let's get started. The first thing, before we teach humor, I want to help define what I mean by humor, at least for the purpose of this recording. And for this recording, I think humor does not have to be a punchline. Humor isn't always going to be a joke, like, hey, two nuns and a penguin are walking down the street, and it's not going to be like that. Humor, for the sake of us, speakers, entertainers, trainers, comedians, sometimes is a way just to connect to the audience. It's a way to create a bond between your audience and you that really can't be created without this humor. And sometimes I think those of us with very high content programs need this type of humor more than anything. So let's, for example, pretend that you're doing a very complicated magic trick or a very high content training about computer skills or life skills or who knows what. Well, that kind of stuff is just too dense for our audience to sit through without giving them some sort of break. So the way I like to think of it is to consider your program as words on a page. It's a lot of black ink on white paper. I think what humor can be and what humor should be is a way to puff up that page with air so we get a little bit more white. By the way, that was the sound effect for air. Okay, if you could see me, you'd know I'm smiling, and I hope you are too. Anyway, what we're going to do is try to puff up that program with a little bit more white space to make it more dense, or excuse me, less dense for our listeners. Here's the deal. If they just wanted the content, if they just wanted that information, they could get it from a book. But they didn't get a book. They got you. They want you. Part of what they want from their sitting through your program is a connection between them and you, a live person. So I want to use some of this humor as just a way to put in some fresh air, to put in a little sunlight between the cracks, to give them a little bit less denseness so they have a chance to meet you. This is going to be really important for comedians. They can't just hear just punchlines. They need to feel like they've met us. This is really important for magicians because, after all, it's not just about the magic. Super important for trainers and speakers because, again, it's not just about the content. It's about our connection with them. So, again, humor does not have to be punchlines. Humor can be, and I think should be, a way to connect. All right, so that's done a couple of things. One, I hope that makes it more relevant for you. If you are the kind of speaker who is not someone who would describe themselves as somebody who has a great sense of humor, if people don't tend to laugh at your jokes, well, good news. This is a way to use humor that I think is easily obtainable for you. But the other thing, again, that I just couldn't say enough is, if you are able to create a bond between your audience and you, you will have succeeded. And this type of humor is going to work for you. All right. So now, do you agree with me that before you can add humor to your program, you have to get over the fear of using humor? And when I talk to live audiences as I'm doing this program, the single greatest problem for people to add humor to their programs is it just scares them silly. And of course, that's really reasonable. Nothing feels worse than telling some sort of joke where you're expecting some sort of laugh or chuckle, or, you know, you want them to fall out of their chairs with hilarity, and they just look at you with a blank face, and we all have that sinking feeling that, uh-oh, they know I'm an idiot. Well, that just feels bad. So there's no way we're going to be able to add any type of humor at all until we get over that fear of humor. So let's talk a little bit about how we can get over that fear. And then after that, we'll start adding some humor. All right. One of the fears is that humor is unprofessional, right? If you're a speaker on financial issues and you're talking to your financial clients, last thing in the world that you want to do is mock yourself and mock this business, because that just doesn't help. Well, I think you're wrong. People tend to love people with whom they laugh. And so if you are able to make people laugh, it makes people feel like, wow, this person is really self-confident. They're really at ease with themselves. And they're very, very, they've got a very strong and likable personality. And don't forget that every time you use humor, if you are a very serious business speaker, you are instantly able to follow up that humor with a phrase like, but you know, I did that for a reason, and I wanted to make a point with that joke, which is that when we're talking about bonds, we need to talk about growth. And so do you see what I'm talking about? Even if you make a joke about money and whatever, and they laugh, you can always earn back them to say, but seriously, I made that point for a reason, which is to tell you that although this stuff is very seriously, we need to remember to take ourselves lightly when we're working in the finances. And that's going to be important in the long run because, all right, so you see what I'm talking about? Anybody who thinks that humor is unprofessional really needs to look close. Look at the people who were most successful in business, and I think you'll find these are the people that are able to take themselves lightly and demonstrate that lightness to their clients and coworkers. And if that isn't a definition of the sense of humor, I don't know what is. All right, that's one fear. You think it's unprofessional? Get over it. Second, our greatest fear is that humor is going to bomb and that we're going to stand there and look stupid. Well, let's talk about that. First of all, when you're up there on the platform bombing, there is a terrific chance that you're not bombing. There's a terrific chance that you think you're bombing and you're wrong. Let me explain. We all have friends that tell jokes that aren't very funny, right? We all have friends that tell really stupid jokes. And my question to you is, do you hate those friends? Do you think less of those friends who tell the stupid jokes? No, they're kind of playful and likable. I have a lot of friends that tell dumb jokes, and I admire them and love them for telling the dumb jokes. I admire them and love them for taking the time to insert those jokes into their life and to share it with me. So what I'm telling you is that people, our audiences, will forgive us for bad jokes. They will forgive us for bad jokes. They don't want us to bomb, but they'll be okay with us if we tell an occasional bad jokes. Bad jokes are okay. Public failure is not okay. But the most important thing is bad jokes do not equal failure. Let me say that again. If you tell a joke and it's not that funny, that does not equal failure. And the way I want you to remember that is just think of that weird Uncle Charlie you have that every Thanksgiving tells you a goofy joke and it's not that funny. Well, he's lovable and weird Uncle Charlie, isn't he? Right? He's not a whack job. He's somebody you like and you can take advantage of that. So again, you might not be bombing. Let me give you another way to think about that. My friend and pal Bill Staton helped me figure this out. Think of it this way. Let's say in some given piece, let's say you've got a 10-minute piece on some topic, and in that piece you have planned 6 moments where you are expecting the audience to laugh. So these might be 6 punchlines or 6 anecdotes or whatever, and you're expecting the audience to laugh. And then when you get up on stage, you realize out of the 6 times, the audience only laughs at 3. All right, so what's going on in your head? You're telling yourself, uh-oh, I'm having a 50% failure rate. I am bombing. I am going down in flames. And you start getting tense, and you start getting that flop sweat, and you start getting all weird. Well, guess what? The audience is not thinking that. The audience is thinking something very different. They're thinking, wow, 3 really funny jokes. That's a really important part. You're focused on the jokes they didn't laugh at, and the audience almost assuredly is concentrating on the jokes they did laugh at. They are loving you for taking the time to put in 3 funny jokes. They are not focused on the jokes that aren't funny. And then the second part is something I call the Frasier rule. All right, so Frasier Crane is one of my favorite TV guys. Frasier is that TV show that I just think is hilarious. I will go out of my way to see the television show. I will have fun with Frasier. I work hard to see Frasier. However, I don't laugh out loud at Frasier. When I'm sitting in front of that TV show, I do not laugh. Instead, I am totally amused. I am really into it. I have scheduled my day around seeing this, but I'm not laughing out loud. Your audience might be doing this with you. So let's talk about those three jokes that they didn't laugh at. These might be the kind of jokes that Frasier has. These are the kind of jokes that are funny, they're interested, they're amused, they're sitting on the edge of their seats, they're digging it, but they're not laughing out loud. All right, you are not failing. You're not failing. So the most important thing I want you to understand is when you think you are bombing, there is an outstanding chance that you're not bombing. There's an outstanding chance that you are that lovable Uncle Charlie type that's telling jokes that aren't that funny, but they like you. There's a really terrific chance that, like Frasier Crane, you are doing a very fun program that they're just, for whatever reason, not laughing. And again, there is a terrific chance that out of the jokes that, if you have a certain number of jokes that fail, they're going to be more focused on the jokes that are successful. Good? You got it? If you think you're bombing, you're not bombing. I think about some of your favorite comedians. One of my favorite comedians always has been Johnny Carson. Well, he was pretty much famous for telling horrible, horrible jokes in that monologue. But, you know, the guy was fine, wasn't he? He had a national TV show. He was one of the legends of television and comedy. I'm pretty sure he was funny, even though he told some really dumb jokes. So, separate trying humor and failing from failure. It is not failure. Here's what we don't want to do. Picture yourself watching somebody on stage who has failed. What is it that makes us so uncomfortable? It's that you can see them get uncomfortable. You can see the performer get sweaty. You can see them start to talk faster and push harder and try harder to get at work, and we can see the nerves coming out on them, and we can see the failure just happening, and it feels like you're watching a train wreck. That is what you want to avoid. But remember, if you tell a joke that's not funny, or if you tell a joke that no one laughs at, that does not equal that type of bombing, flop sweat, failure, unless you let it. So that's crucial. All right, so hopefully what we've just talked about is failing does not equal failing, right? If you think you're bombing, you're probably not. Make sure that you separate in your mind the difference between an attempted piece of humor that didn't work and failure. I can't tell you how many jokes I've told every single day of my career that haven't been that funny. I mean, I'm telling you, just astronomical amount of jokes that haven't been funny. That's my audiences. That's not the problem. The audience will forgive me for that. What they won't forgive me for is if I start taking it personally and I start to bomb. All right. First thing, get over that fear of failure.